Right, evening, we're back. We're at a Touchline Rant. Number 82, the Ben Jam Special.
Ben Jam Special.
Good one this week. We're really excited about it. We're joined by Paddy. Say hello, Paddy.
Hello.
There he is. That's Paddy. We're going to talk a whole host of things, really. We're going to talk Ben Jam, why it's important, why you should get down there. We're going to talk a bit Man City chat. We're going to throw some Man City in.
Not Liverpool this week, just a bit of...
Yeah, I think Man City is the way forward. Because they've got a massive week coming up, title running. You know, they play Spurs and they play United. So that's a huge game. We're going to talk the Cardiff City and Brighton.
Yeah.
Who, if you remember, I predicted as going down.
So I remember that,
I'm taking that. Their relegation little fight that they got going on after last night's epic win for Cardiff City. We got an absolutely killer Reader's Wives this week.
Huge if true.
Reader's Wives is, yeah, we got a huge if true.
Yeah.
Checking a huge if true in the last minute.
Feedback.
Feedback as well. All those things. So thank you very much.
Yep.
We are a Touchline Rant. Let's go.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
Oh, you still recorded it, you.
Yay!
So, we're here. Right, let's start.
Where are we? What location are we at, first of all?
Yeah, well, okay, first of all, thank you very much, Two Rivers Tattoo, for graciously letting us record tonight.
In the heart of Penarth.
Heart of Penarth. It's very kind of them. Certainly, yeah, thank you to Paddy for coming on with us this week. Let's start with the Ben Jam. Explain the background a little bit to Ben Jam.
What is it?
So the Ben Jam is something that, I was going to say we, it's not really a family thing. So it's Ben McDonald, who passed away just after the half marathon in October. Out of nowhere, which is obviously a bit of a shock. So in kind of honour of his memory, the family wanted to do something to kind of inspire people and raise money for a charity. So Ben's sister and brother, Vicky and Steve, they've organised an event, which is music, charity, beers, food, people getting together, having fun.
And what's the charity that's involved?
So the charity is Welsh Hearts.
Yeah.
So they specialise in CPR training, defibrillators being put around different places so people have got more access to them, and also heart screening, which won't always show up potential things, but a lot of the statistics are pretty good for they will pick up X amount of problems and people can be treated going forward. So it's raising money for them. So we've got amazing selection of raffle prizes, signed sports memorabilia, activity packages, beauty packages, things like that. So it's essentially just, we want to raise money for the charity first and foremost, but it's just also an occasion for people to come together, celebrate like Ben would have liked to celebrate, just with mates, listening to music, having a chat, having a joke. So what they've done so far is amazing. And we're all looking forward to it. So that's on Thursday, the 2nd of May.
In Depot, yeah?
In Depot, on Dumbles Road.
Where can you get tickets for that?
So you can get tickets through Eventbrite.
Yeah.
Or you can get them through the Ben Jam page on Facebook. There's a link to it. You can just click through there to PayPal, etc. So it's pretty easy to get tickets. There's lots already sold, so hopefully we'll get more in the next kind of couple of weeks. And I think everyone's just really looking forward to it, kind of coming to a...
It's going to be a good event. It's a great event. Like we're really excited about it. It's really good in that what has happened is something ridiculously painful has brought something.
It's a positive feedback loop off something.
Yeah,
which is just
it's that thing. It's a life changing event. Is now will go on and help change other people's lives.
Hopefully
for the better. You know, it's.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when he first passed away, like literally the day afterwards, the event organisers for the half marathon said, look, he wasn't running for a charity. People are coming out of the woodwork from everywhere saying we want to donate to something. So we had to decide what we wanted the money to go to. So I think it was Vic and Steve and Ben's parents, Ruth and Paul, they decided to set up a charity which was in Africa. So their good family friend Jude, who delivered all their children, now works as a midwife in Africa because, as you can imagine, any complications over there just go south pretty quick. So they just said, look, we'll just do it for that for now. Because there was no actual kind of tangible link to any other charity they wanted to do, and they needed to make a fast decision. So that raised over £20,000 for that charity, that's which, incredible. As you can imagine, over that's there is huge.
I remember watching it actually happening. And just, I remember it going live, and I was seeing you all put it on your Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
yeah,
that's amazing. And watching the whole thing.
Yeah. So
explode like it did was absolute madness. Yeah. The scale of it.
And we've already had a kind of direct feedback from the donations about specific cases, you know, mothers with babies who are struggling, and because of what they're going to be able to do, they're going to be, you know,
that's a direct impact.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully we'll get something similar with Welsh Hearts. You know, it's having more defibrillators around, more accessible to people, the general public. If something obviously terrible does happen, because you stand a much better chance. I saw a statistic yesterday. You know, the percentages are increased by, you know, double or something. If you can get CPR or defibrillator on a person who's had a cardiac arrest within 3 minutes, I think it was, their chances of survival goes from something like 5% to 70-something%. Yeah, so it's a massive thing. So it's not just the defibrillators, it's the free CPR training that they do as well.
Yeah.
Which is, because people probably know first aid training is a pretty expensive thing to kind of go to. So the fact that they put this free training on for people dotted around all Wales.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully it's something that people never have to do, but if you've had training and if you see something happen, it kind of just kicks in.
It's that thing, isn't it? It's like, I hope you never have to use this. But absolutely. If you do, here's how. You know?
Yeah, fully.
It's something you've got to respect and admire how, like, the family have all come together since October. And I just remember reading Andrew's words when it went to, like, Wales Online and through the press from there, and it was so eloquently put, and it just really incorporated, like, the values and structure you've all got in a such a positive way to respond to it, and this is just another element of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like we were just saying before we started recording, it's kind of become a staple saying now in the family about, you've just got to, because obviously with what happened to Ben, and people say it as a kind of throwaway comment, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you don't know what's around the corner. And until something like this happens, you don't ever really believe things
actually
like that.
Yeah, and it's just all of a sudden, it's just like, you don't know.
Yeah, you really
and
don't.
And it's that thing, it's wonderful, it's that thing of, oh, just you just need to do stuff. You just need to live. You can't worry about all these things, like all of us do worry about, but that thing of, oh, maybe I should err on the side of caution because of this. Yeah. You'll always find a reason not to do something.
Yeah.
And it's finding that huge reason to do something. And I think this, it's put this under a magnifying glass. So I think for everybody who is even mildly connected and now is no connection whatsoever, it's that thing of, oh, just do life as you want to do it.
So yeah, to get that positive loop in place, like, we don't know the impact of this will have, we just want it to spread. So if we spread positivity in the right way, then we can just go with it.
Absolutely.
Nice. It's been brilliant. Ben Jam. Second.
Anyone's welcome.
Of me.
You don't have to have known Ben or the family or...
Yeah.
If you like music and you like beer and you like having a chat,
come down.
All the proceeds now, we've sold enough tickets now so that the venue's been covered. So literally anything that goes through the tickets now, and I think even 100 before this, just goes directly to Welsh Hearts, every single penny.
Amazing.
And obviously we've got the raffle on the night, which, like I said, has got some unbelievable prizes in there. So hopefully that'll raise a little
more.
So
get
on
Eventbrite, where else? Facebook.
Eventbrite, Instagram.
Get on.
We're talking with them about potentially, if we've still got ticket allocations free, people doing it on the door. We're not sure 100% about what's happening with that at the moment.
Yeah.
But the capacity is 450.
Yeah, so, great venue.
So it would be really good if we could kind of fill it as close to that as possible. Because Steve and Vic's idea for it, obviously, is to just get bigger and bigger every year. So we're not expecting 3,000 people to this thing.
Yeah.
It's an initial thing. Hopefully people will come. And then by the time they put it on next year, similar time, it'll have kind of doubled. And that's what they want to, you know.
Sweet. If you build it, they will.
Should we finish on that?
I
really love the discussion. I'm listening away from West Africa, Ghana. I really love this, and this is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. I love that. And you are my favorite list. Lock it up.
All right, finally, saw Manchester City.
I think it's a big week for them this week. I do think it's mad. They've got Spurs tonight as we record. It's about to kick off. Then they've got Spurs again in the league, and then it's the Manchester derby.
Yeah,
like that's massive.
Three big games in a row.
It's a big old part of their season. I think if they come through this, a lot of the talk was if Liverpool beat Chelsea, the title was theirs.
Yeah.
And now I think, shit, Man City come through this.
Yeah,
this is surely nothing can stop them. If they beat Spurs on the bounce twice, because they have to win every game, and then win the Manchester derby, well, they deserve it.
Shall I give a little bit of feedback from our Man City chat recently?
Oh, we have Man City chat.
Man City chat.
We have a
Man City.
Is he deep inside?
Thing you missed, I feel, is not winning every game. It's their possession stats on their scoring and the same goals again and again.
Yeah, look. They
so it's not only by any, like, it's not a stroke of luck or like the performances themselves are absolutely justified in their approach, and they can back it up by stats and possession, and how they play is just far above and beyond anyone else.
Yeah.
Say apart from Liverpool.
Okay, can I throw a question out there to you both then?
Throw it out there.
Fantasy football. Do you play fantasy football?
I haven't this season.
But you would usually play standard Barclays. Yeah.
How much time do you think you've saved generally?
So much time.
So much
time. Yeah, I know.
I feel like I care more about normal football. Because you know sometimes you'd be like, what's the score? United are losing 4-0.
It's the bias shit.
Who scored?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, you're
going to... The thing I find with fantasy football is you put so much time and effort into it throughout the weeks. And when the season's over and you know your position, it's like, I can't do anything else with that.
No, you can't.
I can just look at it. What am I going to do? Is take a screenshot and then show you that I've just beaten you by 3 points, even if I lord that over you. It's like a week, maybe a day, and you're like, yeah, that's like, that. And then you're just twiddling your thumbs until, is there any European football? Is there a World Cup? No, there's not.
Right, my
can
question,
I plan my team for it? No, you can't. There's a whole transfer season and everything.
I have once made
pre-season
notes on my fantasy football team.
Did that work out?
Notebook. Not as well as this season I've done phenomenal. Right, don't jinx it. Right, my question to you is, you have Aguero and Sterling in your sides right now, and there's a deeper meaning to this.
Yeah.
Who would you triple captain if there's a double game week?
Sterling.
Okay, right now.
Sterling.
Sterling or Sterling. Aguero.
Justifiably.
Triple captain Sterling,
the best player in the league by a country mark. There's no one that's had a better season than Raheem Sterling, and to come through what he's been through, that's the boy.
He's had a very, 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 very good season. He's had
best player in the league. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Who are you saying?
I mean, not offensively, probably not. Offensively, definitely not.
Offensively, I would suggest... I think offensively, the only person who comes close to Sterling this season is Mo Salah.
Or maybe Mane.
Yeah, Mane as well has had a phenomenal season. And just below it, and it's gone unnoticed because of the drama around them, but Hazard's had a very good season.
He's always ridiculous.
They've had such good seasons, all of those players. But yeah, I would say Sterling. The only player anywhere else that I would suggest had a better season Premier League-wise is Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, that's all right.
VVD.
Yeah, I think VVD. Should we bring back that segment late into the running order?
Let's
stay with this.
Because we're rambling on from Man City.
Okay, Man City, yeah. We've sat with Virgil van Dijk.
So Raheem Sterling.
There
we are. That's an answer for everyone.
It's almost universally agreed that he's
because I think you could, obviously everyone's replaceable, but like to have Jesus on just ready and waiting to replace Aguero, I still feel that Aguero is the best player that's ever graced the Premier League. I truly believe that over time, like one of the best, pound for pound, goal scoring,
absolutely,
and legacy. Like I think he will be there above and beyond.
We disagree on this with Aguero because you believe he's the best player ever in the Premier League. I believe he's the best striker ever in the Premier League. I think he's the greatest striker there's ever been in the Premier League.
But then he never gets any recognition.
No, he doesn't.
Hasn't he been in the end of season team like? Once or
twice.
That
must be a joke.
We talked about this a few months back when we had Handlebar Bristol on. We spoke to them.
Harry Kane will still get it.
And we were talking about underrated players when we had a section of who are your underrated players. He said Mane. I started it off and I said Sergio Aguero. And the Handlebar Bristol boys went, what? I was like, he's the most underrated player in Europe. I was like, by a country mile. Mm. Because he scores a phenomenal amount of goals consistently, always has, still doesn't speak
always
the language.
Always good goals as well.
Yeah, always amazing goals.
Yeah,
vital.
He doesn't speak English. And he's destroying every team. Yeah. He'll do it against relegation teams, and he'll do it against Chelsea and Liverpool. He does it every time.
I think there was a part where he needed a push. That's why I think the significance of Jesus comes in, because there was a point where they were too reliant on him.
Yeah.
And so to bring someone else into that fold who's world class as well takes a lot of doing to push him forward in order to like and then Pep coming in, obviously, and transforming the whole game, not only the team itself, and adding to that, it just feels like it's got so many layers to it now.
Yeah, it's a great team. It's
the best teams that's ever played in the Premier.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That system, that time 100%. Where they're seeing, took them a few seasons 100%. To get to this stage. I'd be worried now it's sort of turned on turbo, isn't it?
I'd be worried if I was a Man City fan, though. Because it feels almost like a cycle's coming to an end. And I've said this before, and someone said that I was a disgruntled Man United fan.
I think they did before, when they had their fullback situation.
Yeah, however, but that got solved, they'll move on. He needed fullbacks, he bought them. He needed extra wingers, he bought them all.
Goalkeeper,
he just looked great. He did all of that. It feels as though, and it'll probably coincide with David Silva and Aguero leaving and getting older and just moving up. It feels like I'm watching Xavi and Iniesta at Barca, and you're like, they're still phenomenal, but this isn't going to last much longer.
Yeah, but they bought really smartly with the Bernardo Silva, which also fantastically underrated player, by the way. Good. He's his first season, right? Or he came in the end of last season.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, Sane and all these players. They've also got the player who I still will say and argue till I'm blue in the face is the greatest player in the Premier League right now. He hasn't had a best season. Kevin De Bruyne is the best player in the Premier League. Kevin De Bruyne, on his day, when he's fully fit, is phenomenal. What he's done since he came back from injury and just immediately world class.
Yeah.
He's been out for months and he comes back and he's like, oh my God, he's so good.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's just played last week. He doesn't need to get into his stride. He's world class straight from
And back. He can do everything as well.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
So no one's fancying Liverpool to take the title?
I
hope not.
Yeah. I'm on the fence about it. I will have a more rounded opinion after this round of fixtures. I am fence sitting now because Man City have got three massive games and Liverpool have got to face who we're going to talk about in the next segment, Cardiff City, in Cardiff after that Brighton result.
Yeah, I think that'll be a hard game for them.
Saying it now, I do not believe this is a definite Liverpool win.
No, I agree fully.
I'd love to agree with you, but you just, like, when Liverpool are that motivated.
Yeah, they're very
it
motivated.
It will come down to, if they just turn it on, then they'll be blown out of the park.
I'm going to say, Cardiff versus Liverpool is the game I'm most looking forward to in this next round of fixtures.
Week to week. Insane.
I'm looking forward to it now because I genuinely thought Cardiff were gone. But then I said right from the start, I said Cardiff and I thought Brighton. And then I said I thought Burnley could get dragged into it. And I haven't altered from that great position run to get the whole out of time, that. Except now, where you have to then streamline your opinion. And I just think that Brighton result was huge.
Do you think, with the five games that Brighton have got left, do you reckon they'll get any points? They got Newcastle at home, and then the other four games are all top six, aren't they?
I reckon.
Or top seven?
I'll give you an answer on that, but I reckon we end this segment. And then we redo it in the next one. Move on to Cardiff in the next one.
Anyway, we were talking about the Palace City.
I want you to sum it up. No, we'll go Cardiff City's next. Sum this section up.
I would really sum this up by saying that.
Touchline Rant, you are really good. Keep doing your videos and being who you are.
So
Cardiff City are going to stay up.
They're going to stay up. Yeah,
they do. Okay. I genuinely think they will now.
I think we
after all that bad luck and terrible reffing. I think it's all built up to a point of like, well, I'm not taking this anymore.
It's almost like they're just like right. We've had
that means Langle the other day.
Yeah,
it was a great strike, Cardiff. Brighton are the team. When you look at the games, Brighton have got, so they've got, who have they got? They've got Newcastle.
Got Newcastle at home, and then they've got
big boys.
Wolves away.
Yeah, they've got Newcastle Wolves.
I think they've got Man City.
Man City.
I think the other ones are all top 17.
Yeah, they've got a very, very difficult running.
So Newcastle at home is their only potential, I think, but even then.
You don't know. No. And then Cardiff have got to go away to Fulham.
Yeah.
And then they got Palace at home.
Yeah.
Palace are on a beach.
Yeah. Right now. And I think the Fulham players will be as a little bit as well. I mean, they're not going to have any motivation to win that.
No, there's no point. They've just won the game.
With the pressure off, maybe some of those superstar players will be like, well.
Who did they beat? Did they beat Everton? Am I imagining that? I'm sure they just beat Everton.
I'm not sure.
And I don't even keep track. I'm just so focused on Cardiff City right now.
Thing is, as well, last game of the season is Man United at Old Trafford, isn't it, for Cardiff?
Yes. That's
so. Something might be out of Man United's hands. They might not need points because they can't do anything more with their league position. You never know.
It's going to be such a long shot, but
yeah.
They dug deep for that huge.
Yeah,
huge
Fulham. Victory on the sorry league. To go back. Fulham beat Everton 2-0.
Oh, they did
last week. I thought I saw him beat Everton.
One of their big name players. Who was it? Mitrovic come in.
Babel has been their best player. Yeah, Babel is just. Ryan Babel's been weird.
He always was. He's been
he's been proper weird. Yeah. But yeah, I think looking at them, I can see where Cardiff can pick up a further 6 points. And I could argue they could pick up six. I think Fulham and Palace are very winnable games. I don't think it's, like I just said, I don't think it's completely out of the question that they at least take points off Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then I think United on the last game of the season, it could...
Hopefully we won't need that last game.
Yeah, hopefully the last game hasn't got any relevance whatsoever because it would be horrendous if it did. But I think, I'm way more positive about Cardiff than I was last week.
It's weird how it's all transformed and like Brighton are the ones which are closest after a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. It's like, well, it could be a number of four teams who are in that battle.
You also
Southampton are out.
But I assumed I genuinely thought it would be Burnley. I thought
just had a really good run.
They got a good team as well. They got a good set of players there. A good manager knows what he's doing. But I just feel like Cardiff now have got the edge going forward, haven't they? The Brighton players, their heads must just be
saying that. So be Glenn Murray is always evergreen. So
evergreen Glenn Murray, he's phenomenal. Glenn Murray,
we've been playing okay, decent football. And not getting results. Like that Chelsea game was because of whatever.
So dignified. Brighton have just two games, but that Chelsea one was just
The Man City game, I think the Man City game, a lot of people have forgotten how good Cardiff City did.
Yeah, they were really good.
You know,
nothing said about it.
But other teams go there and they get slaughtered.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone was anticipating. But when it comes through, like no, they're actually going for it. That Chelsea thing was bitter. So bitter. Like that was horrible.
It was horrendous to go from that to then last night.
That's hard to take.
Yeah,
should at least get a draw.
Yes, it was terrible.
It was dreadful. Last night when I saw that when they were 1-0 up, I celebrated so loudly. Yeah, I was like, get in as soon as it. I couldn't believe it. And then when they scored the second,
Pete was going ballistic.
Yeah,
I mean Pete.
Shout out to the
Blades. Shout out to the Blades.
Blades, down at Vive. Juice bar, Riverside. Cardiff. Get down there. If you go down there, ask to order our smoothie.
A rant smoothie.
He'll make you a rant smoothie. Get down there, mate.
Get down there.
But he is a massive Cardiff City fan. He was going ballistic.
Friends with Mains Lan.
Yeah, Mains Lan.
Is it?
Yeah, they were having a little Insta DM.
Yeah, that's cute, isn't it?
Which is nice.
Very cute,
isn't it? And he's involving us in it. So shout out Pete. But yeah, it's really positive about it. I think Cardiff have got a very... they're playing Liverpool at the correct time.
Yeah.
If I could choose, I would obviously now have them play Fulham next.
Yeah.
And Palace.
Yeah.
And you then can't choose them.
Liverpool, but I can't. So I think Liverpool, why not, man? Get them down the car and have a go.
Obviously, you know, we were talking about Van Dijk earlier. Our forward offensive play, it's through the middle, you know, a guy up top. We haven't really got anyone at the moment. So Van Dijk probably won't come into a factor. So if we can work down the wings and play like we did yesterday and
imagine we've got a... If Cardiff City get results and like stop their title race, or if like both of them don't win, if Cardiff City, if Man City doesn't win and Liverpool don't win,
That'd be insane.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous.
It's been a great season.
Well, this last week has made it even better because it was so exciting watching the title race, but up till this week game or last night game, I was like, it's not interesting at the bottom anymore because Cardiff have gone up. Yeah. Now they've won, it's suddenly like, it's interesting again now. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting when you look at the run of games that they've got. Burnley have got an horrendous run in.
Yeah.
And
Burnley's done the work.
Right,
they've done the hard work.
It's not mathematically impossible.
No, it's not.
That they get dragged back into it.
I think they've got a good enough team on paper. Especially going forward. Wood and Barnes up front are a good
combo. If they have like a two now, if they say we lose the next two, and Cardiff, say, get a draw against Liverpool, and then they beat Fulham, and they lose points, they lose the next two, then Cardiff have gained 4 points on him.
Yeah. I need a shout out.
Shout out? Okay.
Shout out.
Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock, you mean shout out Neil Warnock. Yeah.
I've just
what a rags to riches story
I've
that just man done has overseas.
Do you know why?
From Brexit to this.
Love his mentality. It's like, well, they all, like, I've loved being here. I've never had a reception like this for Cardiff City. Saying all the right things, you know, that's great. And they really have brought him in. And the fans absolutely love him. They like he's a dinosaur, a managing dinosaur of his era, which I still like that. I still like that because it suits the club for where they're at for the time being.
Yeah.
Like scrappers, you know, scoundrels. Yeah. That's what I like.
Yeah.
And so I think it suits that. But his mentality is, well, look, I've loved being here. I'm going to give it everything. If they do decide to move on, move on and choose someone else, I'd like to help choose that manager to take hold, you know, and like after
yeah,
going
he's
to
done well. He
everything.
Done well.
Imagine that you're managing the club and you are thrown all those life affirming things
yeah,
that have happened.
So much.
There was a part where he was actually going to be like, no, I'm going to walk away from football completely because of that reason. Yeah. But it's better, as we've seen, to react positively in the face of anything like negative or detrimental to really show people like you are alive. You know, after that Cardiff City, after the Salah news, I went to see the first home game. And those players were so motivated by just being on that pitch.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
fascinating to watch. Yeah. So if it gives you an element of, I'm a player, I can play, or like I'm alive, these are things I can do, then I'm all for that mentality.
Absolutely.
Maybe,
right.
I don't know.
Really?
That was my shout out.
Agreed.
That was a good shout out. I enjoyed that shout out.
Potential manager of the season as well if we stay up.
Yeah. Look, you can make it.
You get the Clubman of the Year award if that was.
You can. Right, Skid, you have to send this up.
There we are, Clubman of the Year.
Oh, Wi-Fi connection lost. What the hell?
Right, do you know what time of week it is?
It's probably time for Reader's Wives, isn't it?
To get reacquainted with Reader's
what
Wives.
What is Reader's Wives?
Reader's Wives is the question section. So I pose you a question, and people, in this case our Twitter followers, give us answers.
Yeah?
Yeah?
It was good this week.
It was a really good one. Like, the amount of responses we've had is phenomenal. We've had over 100 responses.
Just chip in.
Within the first 2 hours.
Just chip in, isn't it?
So, our question this week was, Tiger Woods completed one of the great sports comebacks with his win at Augusta on Sunday. Which footballers do you think have made great personal comebacks in their time in the game? Think career resurrections.
La resurrection.
The first one that came back, which caught my eye, because like I said, there's an awful lot here.
Can't just blitz through a few.
Okay, I'm just going to blitz through a few. The first one that came back was Jonas Gutierrez. Now, this came in originally from Paul Glover, at Gary_Glover. So Jonas for Newcastle overcame personal health issues to end up scoring the goal that kept the club in the Premier League.
Yeah,
that's
really
pretty
nice.
Damn good.
Yeah, that is nice.
You know, so a lot of people said Jonas Gutierrez, but he was the first one. One that caught my eye as well, which I think is too soon to say, but Tadic. I'd argue at the minute he's had a phenomenal resurgence at Ajax. I think it's a bit too early to say it's career resurrection.
Look, I think you've had the performance of your life against Real Madrid to make a statement in the first leg. Like, to have that
really good. I just think
we've all known he's a great player. We all had him in our fantasy football leagues. He was one of those players.
He's specialist, yeah.
Yeah, but on penalties.
I just think, personally, I think it's a bit too early to say it's a career resurrection as yet.
But it's a good start.
Come back in 3 years.
Good start. If you win the Champions League.
Go back and rehearse, and then come back in 3 years. We'll readjust. Henrik Larsson, this is from ASD, the brand. Henrik Larsson, leg absolutely destroyed when he was approaching his peak.
Yeah,
to come back after an age of recovery to win the Golden Boot and also play for Barcelona and Man United.
Yeah, pretty decent.
I love seeing him
play
for Barcelona.
Yeah, he was a great another one, Djibril Cissé, for summary. This is from Nathan. The two leg breaks he endured to come back and keep going at a relatively high level for a few years afterwards is an incredible achievement.
Yeah,
that was a good one. That's from Nathan, Welsh Straight Edge. Friend
always
of the
good.
Show.
Always good,
Nathan. Shout out, please.
Shout out.
Thank you, Darren, the Gormley-saurus. He's our official mascot. We just adopted him as a mascot. The Gormley-saurus, Darren Gormley, has come in and said, Bert Trautmann, who broke his neck playing the FA Cup final for Man City.
Just played on.
Not only said, oh my God, I've broken my neck, right, I've got to come back, you know, I've got to recover and come back. He just went, no, I'm staying on.
It's like an that's adrenaline
ridiculous.
Thing that beyond
the limit. Gloves.
Yeah, imagine breaking your neck.
The
Needham. Saved him with his teeth. That's what he did. Where's the other one?
quite liked Abidal.
Yeah, Eric Abidal was a really good one. That's from Jordan Lloyd, your friend of mine. Jordan Lloyd came in, and Mitch's. Eric Abidal beat cancer and two liver transplants to win the Champions League and regain his place in the national side.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Was it Jordan Lloyd again? No, it wasn't right. Jordan Lloyd as well. But Nick, Brazilian Ronaldo, two serious injuries at Inter in 1999-2000. Then he adapted his game and won the 2002 World Cup as top goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't think of Ronaldo in Resurrection.
On the team comeback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you. Captain Gareth, Ian Rush of Wrexham. Which I thought was really good. Joe Thompson, who scored the winner for Rochdale against Charlton after returning from cancer for the second time.
Respect that.
I mean, yeah, that's unbelievable.
That was really good. Tony Adams coming back after his alcohol addiction.
Yeah, any of that Arsenal team.
Yeah, that entire Arsenal team.
Arsenal.
Like, it's yeah. mad, yeah.
Go on, finish on a flourish.
Finish on a flourish. T. Kamara scored for Liverpool the day his dad died.
Billy Sharp as well, his little boy.
Yeah. And then we'll round it up then on the Gormisaurus again. He said, the Manchester United Munich survivors, Liverpool and Forest players after Hillsborough, Bradford players post-fire, the Juve players post the 39 fans dying, all players returning to depleted teams post World War I and World War II.
But it's too real.
That is the heaviest answer. That is a tough one to get through, but he is correct.
Me out. It's changed
He's
the tone.
Correct in what he said.
Changed the tone.
And that Brazilian club, literally lost their title.
And Torino as well, the plane crash before the Munich.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, we'll end there. Do you know what though? It makes Tiger Woods, you know what he did, look like nothing now, doesn't it?
This is a great podcast.
So, it's one of our favourite times of the show.
We always get it. We always like it.
Because
it helps us grow and flourish.
It's the feedback section. Okay. Do you want to know who has been in touch this week? There's some really good responses this week. I think people have enjoyed it. Sergio Busquets has been in. He says, fantastic Reader's Wives this week. Excellent content, guys. Keep it up. So thank you to, you know, the man who perfected the Makaleli role has been in touch. That's beautiful, that is.
It's positive.
Jason Dodd had an equally huge impact on the game, has been in touch. He said, you didn't mention my charity fun run like you promised you would. Sorry, Jason. He's doing a charity fun run. Peter Crouch. He loves us, Crouchy. This week's show was like a fine hooker. Loving and tender when needed, but without fear of judgment.
Is that a rugby hooker?
I don't know what he means, but it's Crouchy, so I don't know. I trust him. I trust his honour. And then, to round it all up, my favourite, I've kept the best to last, as you do, Chris Bart Williams simply said, the Bartman likes it. So, thank you, Chris Bart Williams, for that. What better way to end?
Shout out.
Shout out, what a week.
See this out then. This is it.
Okay.
What do we need to track through?
Right.
What's happening? What event's happening?
Event is Ben Jam, May 2nd, at the Depot in Cardiff. Come down. We'll all be there. 6 to 11.
Didn't mention that before.
No, 6 to 11. So we'll all be there. Come down. It'll be a great evening.
Everyone's welcome.
Say hi. Come chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Thank you very much for coming on. It's been a
Thanks
a
for
treat.
Having me. I've loved it. Thank you very much.
It's been a treat.
Yeah.
We're going to go see if Man City or Spurs now go through to the next round to the Champions League.
Then we'll just chat about that soon.
We'll just chat about that soon. All right. Ta-ra.
Bye.
The podcast you just listened to was brought to you by Anchor. Ever wanted to start your own podcast? Now you can by using Anchor. Anchor is great at anchoring and anchoring away at Anchor, so you can anchor all night long if you like. Anchor. Try Anchor.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.